Good afternoon. How many of you have been attending some of the sessions already in this big so far today? Yeah, okay, good. Then I'll do my best not to repeat myself because it's definitely related and an extension. So my name is Karen Boulanger, and I'm a recent graduate of Community and Behavioral Health at the University of Iowa. Shelley Campo and John Lowe were my advisors. And basically what I'm going to do today is take some of the data from my dissertation and paint a picture for how I feel massage therapists could be really substantive contributors to the public health workforce, specifically in the areas of health promotion and musculoskeletal symptom reduction. I have no relationships to disclose. So you've already heard the Barnes survey probably in every talk so far today. But specifically for my conversation, I want to address how many people saw massage in the year 2007. So there was about 18 million U.S. adults and 700,000 children that reported receiving a massage in the previous year. Massage therapy was used for a variety of health-related purposes: pain relief, sports injury, stress reduction, relaxation, anxiety and depression, as well as general wellness. So just a few pieces of information about the training, licensing, and certification of massage therapists in the U.S. There's about 1,500 schools or programs. At the programs, anatomy and physiology is taught, massage techniques, ethics, business practices, as well as a hands-on clinic experience. And currently, there are 45 states and the District of Columbia that have laws regulating the practice of massage therapy. So the study aim, or the objective of this presentation, is to examine the potential role of massage therapists as members of the public health workforce in the areas of health promotion and musculoskeletal symptom management. So we'll be drawing from three data sources. The first one was a cross-sectional survey that was mailed to a random sample of massage therapists in Iowa to assess their health promotion behavior. The response rate was 40%. And in the second study I'm going to be reporting from, there were 24 massage therapists in Iowa that then volunteered to distribute surveys to 25 consecutive clients that were coming in to see them to assess their reasons for seeking care. And we have an N of 321 that were analyzed. And then also I'm going to present some information from a literature review and what I know about different programs that involve massage therapists contributing to public health. This is not, of course, an exhaustive review. There are so many programs being done right now, both in the United States and worldwide, that involve massage therapists, but I wanted to give you just basically some examples of what's being done. So from the first study, remember, that was the cross-sectional survey of a random sample of massage therapists in Iowa, we see that most of the massage therapists were female. This is generally true of most massage therapists as well. Mean age of about 41. They had 688 hours of initial training. That does not include continuing education, which is pretty normal for people in Iowa because in Iowa you have to have at least 500 hours. That's actually gone up to 600 hours since the survey was conducted. So massage therapists in Iowa are really considered healthcare providers. They are licensed by the same board that licensed doctors, chiropractors, and other providers like that. And just less than half of these massage therapists practiced alone versus in a group setting. And on the survey, I had a whole section of items where I asked them about their different practices and techniques. The ones most relevant to this discussion are encouraging water intake. So how many of you have had a massage and then afterwards were offered a glass of water, for example? Right. Yeah. Pretty common practice. Also, you could see that about half or more provided recommendations regarding stretching, either at home or at work. And many massage therapists provided recommendations to reduce stress. And also exercise counseling for general health. So massage therapists here were not giving prescriptive exercises, but just saying that, you know, increasing activity, exercising 3 times a day for 20 minutes, for example, something like that, is a common practice of massage therapists in Iowa as well. Another section of the survey asked for the frequencies of a variety of behaviors. where 5 would be almost always and 1 would be never. So some examples of clinical behaviors were that as a massage therapist, I teach my clients how to prevent their condition from becoming worse, that massage therapists explain to their clients the cause of their muscular tension. They provide clients with information regarding their condition, and then more educational-like behaviors such as educating clients on the benefits of massage therapy, talking to clients about eating well and nutrition. Again, not prescriptive advice, but just generally, you know, 5 fruits and vegetables a day, things like that. And as well as giving clients ideas on how to manage their stress. So you can see that massage therapists were, you know, engaging in health-promoting behaviors with their clients. In the second study, which the respondents were actual massage therapy clients, similar to the massage therapists themselves, most of these clients were female. The reasons for their visits were mostly for complaints. So 72% had a complaint that they came in, and most commonly back, neck, and shoulder pain and issues. 28% came in simply for relaxation or wellness. Most of these complaints were chronic in nature. And you can see that there were 321 in that sample. And now I'm going to move into more of the literature review and kind of bring everything together. So the way that complementary and alternative medicine users are being described recently, they're kind of being put into 2 categories of users. One for musculoskeletal symptom management like back, neck, shoulder pain, and then health promotion. Like they're not going to a provider, you know, to be treated for a specific condition, they're just going there to improve their health or to maintain their health. So low back pain, of course, is very common. We saw slides earlier about it's, you know, the most frequent reason why people are using CAM. Americans spend a minimum of $50 billion every year on low back pain. It is the leading cause of employment disability and lost work days. And there is evidence for massage therapy effectiveness. Now, the evidence for massage in general is growing all the time. Research is also growing in sophistication. But the research that we have on low back pain is pretty darn strong. and it's a real area of promise. It's definitely, even if I just, you know, didn't present you with any more data, this is a huge area for massage therapists to make an impact on public health is by reducing low back pain. And also, and that was Dan Churkin and Karen Sherman, and they also did a study that was pretty strong support for the role of massage therapy in helping to reduce neck pain. And quite more recently, we have Adam Perlman's study, which has provided some really nice evidence for osteoarthritis of the knee. And I'm so proud that he just got $2.7 million from NCAM to do a really, really nice, brilliant trial. Continuing the work that he's doing on osteoarthritis of the knee. So lots of really promising work being done. Now in the areas of health promotion, I think someone mentioned earlier, Janet Kahn, that there is a role for massage therapists in helping to detect cancer. There is a nonprofit called the World Skin Project, and basically this was founded by a massage therapist who, being a good practicing what she preaches massage therapist, was getting a massage, and her massage therapist said, you know, there's a mole on your back and it kind of looks a little suspicious. Well, it turns out it was malignant melanoma. So that massage therapist pretty much saved her life. And so she was very touched by this experience, and then she has now dedicated a large part of her life to educating other massage therapists to determine what moles might look suspicious. And this is important because massage therapists typically view areas of the body that are not visible to their clients, their back. I mean, how well can you see your back and check moles, right? Which are common sites for cancerous moles. The Massage Therapy Foundation is a nonprofit for the massage therapy profession. Their role is to provide research, community service, and education for the profession. In 2010, they had a research conference, which they had a whole day that was dedicated to examining the role of massage therapy in public health. Also, they fund community service grants. They've been doing this since 1993, and there's about 5 grants that are funded every year, and so this is just, again, an example of the kinds of things that people are doing, providing care for disaster responders, the homeless, pediatric burn survivors, developmentally disabled adults, and again, this work is being done both in the U.S. and abroad. The American Massage Therapy Association is one of two large membership organizations in the massage profession, and they do sponsor a massage emergency response team, also called MERT. And basically, this is where massage therapists are providing massage to rescue workers. There was a whole bunch of massage therapists that were there after the 9/11 attacks and then after Hurricane Katrina, as examples. And then every year, actually it just passed, AMTA encourages massage therapists to get involved locally in their communities during National Massage Therapy Awareness Week. So the thoughts that I kind of want to leave you with is that massage therapists often have repeated contact with their clients. And it was, you know, mentioned in a talk I heard earlier that, you know, the average physician has like, what, 17 or 18 seconds to spend with their patients. And massage therapists spend anywhere from 50 to 60 minutes with a client. Now, I'm sure their client doesn't want to listen to an hour of health promotion, but even just 5 minutes, you know, with someone that you have ongoing contact with, I think that's just a grand opportunity to really make a difference. Because we have the opportunity for consistent encouragement to increase healthy behavior, and this could result in positive health changes. And again, acknowledging the health promotion role of massage therapists may lead to more opportunities for massage therapists to improve the health of the public. Does anybody have any questions? Yes. Well, it was just a survey that I did, and there was quite a few actually that I thought were talking about nutrition. Massage therapists are not trained to provide health promotion. It's not in the core standards. It's one of those missed opportunities. Now, there's a lot of massage therapists like myself. I mean, can you imagine? I have a PhD in community behavioral health. You come to me for a massage, you're going to get more than massage. I'm going to talk to you about all kinds of different things. But you know, there's not a lot of people in massage that have been educated that way. But there are a lot of efforts, in the profession now, like, Janet Kahn being involved in what she's being involved in, and there's some people really working on policy work, which is not my area, but really looking to incorporate massage therapists more in. You know, I'd love to have someone be a massage therapist and contribute to the goals of, Healthy People 2020, right? Now, why aren't massage therapists going out there and saying, okay, how can we help with the nation's public health goals? It's just not that well organized right now, unfortunately.
We find a growing number of practitioners in other areas, whether it's the Center for Public Health, becoming the vice chair of the National Wellness Certification.
That is possible. So I taught at a massage therapy school in Iowa, so it's limited for 8 years. And what I saw was a lot of nurses who were kind of getting frustrated or, as a kind of a second career path, really wanted to kind of go back to really connecting with people. And so I saw a lot of nurses coming to massage therapy school. We don't really have any, really good data on that.
I know there's more female massage therapists, but I was surprised to see 90% were female and only about 10% male. Have you found that to be changing over time, or are there any reasons for why that might be happening from your perspective?
Yeah, I have not seen that changing. I think, and there is some data to support what I'm about to say, is that people who go to get a massage sometimes have really strong preferences about the gender of their massage therapist. So sometimes you have women who only want other women, or sometimes you have men who only want a female therapist. You know, for me, it's less about gender than it's about other things. But for some people, they really want a female. And so even if a man goes to massage therapy school and tries to set up a practice, he sometimes will come up. You can talk to male massage therapists, and they'll tell you all the barriers that they come in contact with and how hard it is for them to promote themselves and to bring people in. Mm-hmm. Any other questions? Okay, thank you.